Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Your first mission is to keep yourself happy.
It's living for self that is so exhausting and frustrating because you were made to live for Him. So when you begin to please Him, you begin to thrive. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's a joy. I come alive. This is what I was made for.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Whoa, had the best Sunday morning service. This is Wretched Radio. Just bubbling, just overflowing from church on Sunday. How about you, Jimmy?
Yes.
I'm sorry, what? How was church on Sunday?
I hear it was great.
You hear? Were you closing your eyes while you were at church?
No, I wasn't at church.
Oh, I...
You always seem to ask...
Brought up a sensitive subject. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to... And
my clothes are wrinkled again.
I understand because let's face it, the car doesn't work. You can't get the thing jumped. I understand there are valid excuses as long as it's not something like, I don't know, some tree branches fell down from the big wind, something like that. What was your excuse?
Yeah, that's it. There was a pretty bad storm Saturday night. And we had some pretty big tree branches come through our roof. Not through our roof. Now, let me rephrase. Not all the way through.
No, keep digging. I mean, keep going.
they did. At like 3 o'clock in the morning, they hit our roof and we weren't sure what the level of damage was. And we had to make sure that we weren't going to be, you know.
No, I get it. I understand why that would take the entire Hicks clan away from church. I do. I
Ooh, wow. Yeah.
Did I mention this is Wretched Radio?
It certainly is wretched.
And if you thought that was awkward, how do you think Rick Warren is feeling today? He posted a Lulu, didn't he? Making the text say what apparently he wanted it to say. This is delving into any sort of current political commentary. Now, Rick Warren, I don't know if he knew this before, but he's learned now. Be very, very careful because you'll take some heat out there. They crucified Jesus with two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Warren tweeted on, that was Tuesday, quoting John 19:18. The guys on both sides were thieves. If you're looking for the real Jesus, not a caricature disfigured by partisan motivations, you'll find him in the middle, not on either side. And wow, did a buzzsaw respond to that eisegesis? Is that really what John intended to say? That when it comes to political, social, and moral issues, Jesus kind of floats around the middle. Jesus would never say anything that might offend this side or that side, except for the fact that he isn't the middle. He is the standard. To even paint him in this paradigm is inappropriate. He's not kind of sticking his finger up into the wind and checking to see if he might have tree branches blown on his house, giving him an excuse to not go to church on Sunday. Sorry. No, he's the standard. He determines what is right, what is wrong. He doesn't pick sides. He is the one that we need to figure out and get on his side. Well, lots of people responding. And it was like an old country buffet. It just had a little something for everybody. Maybe you went to old country buffet after church on Sunday.
I'm not going to live this one down.
Nope. Not a chance. But see, I'm doing this in love, Jimmy.
I know.
It's because I care about your family.
Yeah.
This is not about public humiliation.
Not at all.
No, this is about my concern for your soul.
Yeah.
That's all. So please receive it in those terms. Allie Beth Stuckey, Jesus is not in the middle on the murder of children, gender deception, the definition of marriage, or anything else for that matter. In fact, I seem to remember him having particular disdain for the lukewarm. Yeah, he had some things to say about that, didn't he? This is an era in which we live where the issues are different. Can you be in the middle on military spending? Sure. Can you be in the middle on what percentage of taxes, how many shovel-ready jobs, fine. Abortion? Mutilating children? These are not issues that are up for grabs where we kind of just need to bend a little bit. And if the other side bends a little bit, we'll touch in the middle and we'll find common ground. Would we do that with slavery, Pastor Warren? Jesus is just in the middle on slavery. You know, when it comes to rape, Jesus is kind of in the middle. Child abuse, middle. You'd go, whoa, whoa, whoa. What does it reveal, therefore, when Pastor Warren said that comment on X? It indicates he's a middle guy. And apparently he doesn't think that these issues of life and death are issues of life and death. How else could you say such a thing? Even Mike Knowles, Roman Catholic, who, by the way, Rick Warren, I'm sure, affirms and embraces, except that the thief to our Lord's right hand is in heaven and the thief to his left is in hell. Not the best analogy for the point you wish to make. Joel Berry, he's Babylon Bee guy. If you're going to misuse the story this badly, you should also point out that the thief on the right is the one who went to heaven. This is from Daily Wire. Megan Basham. Is she at the Daily Wire? Is that her official gig?
I'll find out.
I know that she wrote that book, Shepherds for Hire. That was a blockbuster. But she's at the Daily Wire? The fact that this is the pastor from whom millions of Americans found spiritual guidance for years explains a lot about the state of our theology. Yes. Yes, it does. Josh Dawes. Sure, sure. All that atonement for sin, victory over death, and salvation for mankind stuff is great. But have you ever considered how the real message of the crucifixion is that we shouldn't take sides? That's awesome, dude. That's not what the original author intended. And had nothing to do with politics. Actually, there was a really, really thoughtful article. This was Western Journal, talking about the Rick Warren kerfuffle. By the way, he's pulled that tweet down because he just took so much flack on it. Remember, Rick Warren said, Jesus is in the middle, left and right. That's where the real Jesus is. So in other words, he's not a Democrat. He's a Republican. He's in the middle. Okay, if you want to make the point that Christianity transcends any sort of political label, okay, I'm down with that. That wasn't the point. It was that you shouldn't be hard line on stuff, that we should be compromising. And on what issues he had in mind, I don't know. But the tweet was just sloppy. And it was classic. And it got himself into all kinds of trouble. This was from the Western Journal. If this metaphor is truly biblical, that Jesus isn't on the left or the right, he's in the middle, it should hold true throughout Christian history. That is a great observation. So if that comment is true, I should be able to take that comment and import it into any time period in history. And that's what the Western Journal did. Consider the French revolutionaries, responsible for the Reign of Terror, the mass executions of holy men, the stated goal of de-Christianizing all of France, which is what the British Parliament is trying to do right now. Warren is saying that Jesus is to be found in the middle ground. So perhaps you can just kill half the priests you're planning on drowning in the river. That's where Jesus would be found, after all, in the middle. Hey, why are you dragging me by my elbow toward that guillotine? Apparently, they just cut half of your head off. The statement that is presumably true today, if it is correct, biblical exegesis would stand true in all eras, and it doesn't. The middle, by the way, this fellow for the Western Journal wrote, the middle is as much of a political position as anywhere, Pastor Warren. It's true, isn't it? The middle position is a position. Psalm 94. Can wicked rulers be allied with you? Those who frame injustice by statute? They band together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. And you can't have nothing to do with them. You can't play footsie with people who want to murder babies and mutilate children. This is not a time for the church to even think about left, right, and middle. It's time to be thinking transcendent and morally right as defined by the one who is morality. And then command people to get in alignment with what he teaches, not what they want him to say. Jess Kelly, absolutely right. Jesus was neither hot nor cold. He was lukewarm. Pretty sure it's in the Bible. Ouch. Rick Warren, not the only one telling us we need to be in the middle. That is a big push from guys like Russell Moore, David French, and now the choir has added another voice, Rick Warren's. There is, however, one little glimpse in this dark mess that I do believe shines brightly. It does appear that after removing that ridiculous eisegesis tweet, Rick Warren actually went to church on Sunday morning. I'm just saying, that would be a positive. On
yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is Wretched Radio.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King. Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know how everybody's always trying to sell you something? This is different. We're actually giving away more content than most ministries charge for. Maybe you're thinking someone should help keep this going. Well, that someone could be you. Would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Just head over to FortisInstitute.org right now and get all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace. Amazing gospel. You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds, this is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
What if you could strengthen your marriage in just minutes a day? Well, we're making that possible and easier than ever before, because now through the end of the month, we're giving away our resource Drive By Marriage completely free at FortisPlus.org. And also don't forget to pick up the study guide absolutely free as well. Drive By Marriage gives you 31 powerful bite-sized lessons that fit into your busy schedule. And with the study guide, you're going to get deeper insights and practical exercises to apply what you're learning. It's Drive By Marriage, because a few minutes a day can transform your marriage forever.
Know your church fathers. Tertullian was a well-trained Greco-Roman philosopher. When he converted to Christianity, he used his great learning to vigorously defend Christianity. Tertullian rejected secular philosophy and is famously quoted as saying, "What hath Athens to do with Jerusalem?"
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Saddlebag story number two. No, we had enough. This is Wretched Radio. There's a new pastor in town. He dresses up like Andy from Toy Story when he preaches. Pastor Andy Wood, who replaced Pastor Rick Warren, has a wife who's a pastrix at Saddleback Church. He made a tweet on January 20th, and he took a shellacking for it because he seemed to indicate something positive, potentially affirming about the Trump administration. And wow, did they sharpen up the Saddleback guillotine to lop off his head. Here's what he tweeted. I don't think this is all that controversial myself. Today's inauguration was beautiful. A number of moments where God was honored. And a wonderful prayer by Franklin Graham pointing people to the hope of the gospel. Well, sir, you are going to rue the day that you said that and that you want to pray for the new president to accomplish his intended purpose for your life and your role as our president for such a time as this. Hundreds of comments immediately that were very hostile, he said. And so they pulled him down and he had to, of course, deliver this middle cross apology. Some of you might have been confused about my level of love for people or groups in our church who are having a hard time with the new administration. I had a hard time with Barack Obama twice and Joe Biden once, but I didn't curl up in a ball. And I want you to know from the bottom of my heart, I love you. Saddleback has and always will be a church where people from all different walks of life and backgrounds can find hope and healing through turning to Jesus. And so he had to apologize because people were like, hey, are you supporting, whether it's Republicanism, conservatism, or Donald Trumpism, MAGAism, how dare you? And that's, I think it's, without importing too much into this, it's a bit of a tell. I think when a church is preaching the Bible and preaching on the issues du jour, which are also the issues of the day, the big stuff that's happening that people are talking about, perhaps confused about, looking for some biblical direction, we should be preaching on those issues. Martin Luther made that plain. Yes, preaching the Bible, but the pastor who overlooks the burning issue of his day is negligent in his pastoral responsibilities. And so a church should be talking about life. A church should be talking about gender issues. I would say a church could, maybe less emphatically, talking about immigration issues. I just read a poll. I think it was like 80% of people said, it sure would be nice to hear the pastor talk about this stuff. No, I'm not suggesting the church turns the pulpit into a political punditry where we just talk about this issue and that issue. No. But with the big stuff, they should be addressed as we preach the Bible. How could people be going to Saddleback Church and not know that the pastor has conservative values? I just did that math real quick. It's because those things are never expressed. The apology continued. There are sins on the right side of politics that need a warning and need to be kept in check. You going to talk about the left side too? Or are we just going to punch right and coddle left? There are sins on the right side that need a warning to be kept in check, such as, here they come, greed and bigotry. And these things very easily can creep into thinking or rhetoric and have no place in the life of a follower of Jesus. So a very firm scolding for greed and bigotry, which I would affirm. What about babies being mutilated? What about children being put under the knife and having body parts lopped off? I don't think there's a moral equivalency here. So from my heart to you, if I've confused you, I'm sorry. Genuinely, I apologize. Lesson learned. Pastor, I'm not suggesting that you get into the pulpit and preach politics. You have to sort that. But preaching on the moral issues of the day, how can we not? These are not petty issues. These are not about shovel-ready jobs and taxation policies and military budgets. These are life and death issues. These are not only that, but even if I'll use the word philosophically, there is such a detachment from reality here. There's such a different way of viewing everything. that is so antithetical to what is reality and right and godly, you're going to take a beating. Don't deliver it like a jerk. You're not that way anyway. Don't deliver it like you're on fire for these issues, but we about these issues, when we see people staggering to the slaughter, we must speak. And if people get upset, we listen. If people say, I think you biffed it on this, we consider it, get counsel, and if necessary, apologize genuinely from my heart, which is exactly what, this is actually a good story. That is precisely what the Presbyterian Church, the mission to North America, serves the PCA. That's the Presbyterian Church America. Those are the good guys, not to be confused with the PCUSA. PCA is I would say, solidly reformed. I'm sure that if you're in the Presbyterian Church America, you could point out some issues. But I think that they're solidly biblical and orthodox and maintaining their reformed heritage for the most part. That's always been my impression, and I haven't been given any evidence to suggest otherwise. If you got some, feel free to send it to idea@wretched.org. They biffed it. They made a mistake. I'll read their apology. Recently, we posted links on our webpage to external organizations offering a wide range of recommendations and frequently asked questions on immigration. MNA's leadership erroneously allowed the posting of content that advised undocumented persons on ways to avoid being detained by authorities. Uh-oh, that was a biff, and I'll bet they got blasted. Hey, what's going on here? Here's their apology, and I say to them, salute and well done. We affirm that it is our Christian duty to obey the lawful commands of the civil magistrate and be subject to their authority. And they quote the Westminster Confession of Faith 23:4, Romans 13:1-4, 1 Peter 2:13-14. We submit to the authorities. And of course, we know the exceptions unless they command us to commit a sin, forbid us from obeying a command, or invade our territory. In other words, they bring their governmental sword-carrying authority into the church. They bring their physical authority into the spiritual realm. And then we have every biblical permission, and I would say command, to say, with all due respect, Mr. Caesar, sorry, no can do. We obey God, not man. That would be Acts 4 and 5, Rexella, back to the Presbyterian Church. To counsel otherwise is a sin. There you go. Well done. Well done. And you know what's going to happen? People inside of the church who don't affirm that or agree with that, if they stay, they'll learn and grow. And if they're offended by that, they're going to go. And that's precisely why seeker-sensitive churches don't talk about these issues, because it causes some people to go. It causes some people to leave. And I understand that it can swing so wildly, so quickly, where church becomes a political litmus test, where politics is the dividing issue. It shouldn't be the dividing issue, but it's going to be a dividing issue, especially when we're talking about issues of life and death. You're going to lose some people, Pastor. Don't throw them out the door. We don't want that. But if they walk out the door agitated because we want to defend babies, children, women, and even a nation, a lot of people walked away from Jesus. Let's just put it that way. Back to the apology. To counsel otherwise is a sin. We confess that we fell short of our biblical and confessional standard. We repent and apologize. Wow. You want to take this out of the context of church and politics for a moment? There is a very practical personal application. When we apologize, it doesn't make us look less. It doesn't cause people to go, oh, you can't ever talk about anything ever again because you were wrong once. This is an apology. And I got it. I read it and I'm like, I've got more respect for the PCA today than I did before I read this. That's the power of repentance. We repent and apologize. We also apologize for causing confusion and consternation in our church. We have removed all of the previously posted information from our website. Well done, PCA. Well done. And by the way, I don't know what the difference is between a biblical and confessional standard, but that's kind of your Presbyterian thing. I find it the most fascinating thing. If you've ever been around somebody who's really confessional, wow, they are really confessional, which is a very biblical statement. The Westminster Confession, whichever year you prefer, whether it's London or even the American, it's very biblical. But wow, when you meet somebody who's confessional, they think confession. And the Presbyterian Church America, they were thinking confession. They realized they blew it. They've repented. And to them, I say, wow, respect. I think that's how the kids say it. Respect, PCA. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.